Well, the protections that we have in place right now have meant everything to my family. The health care that we have available to us. When our oldest son, Jack, he got Rocky Mountain spotted fever back in 2009 from a tick bite. And it sent us on a medical journey that nobody wants to go on. He landed in the pediatric intensive care unit here at St. John's Children's Hospital. And he received amazing care from the medical team there. I mean, they kept him alive every minute of every day for a long time. And so I'm very thankful for the care that he received. And when we got out of the hospital, you know, we weren't thinking about the bills while we were there. We were focused on just making sure that Jack stayed alive. And the medical bills were astronomical. 21 days in a pediatric intensive care unit, surgeries. It was a lot. And then he had years of physical rehabilitation afterwards. And so the insurance that my husband and I had really saved our family, and so do the not having the caps. Our life would look entirely different if we didn't have insurance or if the caps were in place. And I'm very grateful for that. And I don't want any other family to have to go through a medical emergency, which is horrifying in and of itself, and then to come out of it and face losing a home, not being able to help their kids go to school. And it's a frightening position to be in, and I'd like to help protect people from that.
Other Democrats already in the race have talked about preferring a single-payer system, or at the very least moving toward it with reforms to the Affordable Care Act. Where do you stand on that spectrum?
Well, I think that there will be time down the road to look at specific plans for alternatives. Right now, I want us to fix what we have. And then when we're moving forward, we can look at plans. I would want to know how we can best protect people and the economic impact that it's going to have on our district before I would vote for anything. I would have to see the legislation, know the economic impact, and how it's going to affect us all.
Without advocating for a particular proposal, what about the Affordable Care Act do you think needs fixing?
Well, I know that even at family dinners on Sundays, sometimes it works. I mean, it works for some of us. It doesn't work for others. I mean, I think there's some formulas that need to be tweaked. And I'd love to be able to dive in to being part of fixing the problems.
Does that include keeping the individual mandate, doing away with it? What are the problems that make the Affordable Care Act a little shaky?
Well, I don't know that question can be answered simply. I think it's a complex issue, and I think we have to go in and look at it right now. Because you start talking about the formula for subsidies and how that affects different areas. So I don't know that I can give a simple answer to how to fix it right now. I think it's complex.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan of Springfield, a Democratic candidate for Congress in the 13th District against incumbent Republican Rodney Davis, or at least that's the hope if she gets past the primary. Let's talk about Congressman Davis a little bit. He has said that the Affordable Care Act is a system designed to fail, that the exchanges are not working, and as a result, they are producing premiums that are far too expensive for ordinary Americans to afford. Your thoughts on that particular quote?
Well, I feel a little bit about that answer, like I feel about when people are critical of public education. You can't keep undercutting a program and then expect the best outcomes. And I think that's what's happening with the ACA. And instead of getting in and funding it adequately and making it work and using the bones that are there, undercutting it every step of the way is just making it, it's crippling it.
This race is not currently, according to the Cook Political Report, rated as competitive. Why do you think they're wrong?
Well, you know, I've been in this district for, I mean, most of my life, but for college and doing Teach for America for a couple of years. And I've seen a big difference in the way people are feeling. For a long time, you know, I have been on the sidelines of campaigns, and I've talked to a lot of people, and there was, you know, there's always room for people to be disgruntled, and occasionally they were angry. But the difference I'm seeing now is that people are genuinely frightened of what they feel, you know, they stand to lose. And that makes people very active and protective. And I think that, you know, they want somebody in office who's approachable, who will talk with them, who will listen to them, and then take those concerns back to Washington. And I think there's a general feeling that that's not what's happening right now.
Among the potential and announced candidates for, you know, on the Democratic side in the race are an emergency room physician who's run many times before, a state senator from Champaign-Urbana who was a single mom and has moved into politics that way, an English and theater instructor at a high school in Normal, a U of I person, and the Jersey County State's Attorney. Distinguish yourself from them and tell us why you will make a better candidate against Rodney Davis than they will.
Well, first of all, I love that there's this much interest in the 13th Congressional District. I think it's fantastic. And I think I'm the best candidate for this race because this place and the people here are in my bones. And I think that we want the same things, and people aren't asking for, you know, the moon. They want good jobs. They want health care, and they want health insurance that is affordable and works for them. They want to be able to, you know, help their kids further their education without being completely crippled with debt. And they'd like to think that maybe at some point those kids that they send off to community college or a four-year university or into an apprenticeship program, that they might want to come back to the area, there'd be jobs here for them, and raise their families around here, maybe have family dinners on Sundays. And those are the things that, you know, that I hear from people. And those are the same things that I want. I've got two boys in college right now, and I would love to think that down the road there'd be the economy here is strong enough and the jobs are available, that they might want to come back here, raise their families, so I can, help out with the grandkids.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Charlie Schlenker. We're talking with Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, a Democratic candidate for Congress in the 13th District. It's expensive to run for Congress. Some candidates, in fact, dump out of even the attempt because they can't afford to leave their work for the 18 months that it takes to run and try to raise $100,000 a month every month until the election. Can you do that?
Absolutely, and I have never been one to shy away from a challenge. My experience in fundraising helps me with the first hurdle I think a lot of candidates face, which is being scared of fundraising, and I'm not. I guess the difference in being a candidate is making that switch to asking people to make an investment in you. And that's what I'm doing. I'm asking people to make an investment in me to help, you know, to help put their voice back in Congress.
Tell us more about your background and why it suits you.
Well, I have had for the last 7.5 years, I have had the pleasure of working at the Abraham Lincoln Presidential Library Foundation. And also in that time, I worked for Senator Dick Durbin, doing some of his downstate fundraising. And so I think I have amazing political mentors in Senator Durbin and in President Abraham Lincoln. And I think that my experience in fundraising with the Presidential Library Foundation has, you know, has set me up for making the ask of people and helping them get to a place where they feel that their investment is worth it.
The 13th District has, 7 universities in it, a lot of agriculture. Tell us how you would address those two constituencies.
Well, with education right now, what students are facing, especially with this new budget, it increases the interest burden of the students, and it freezes Pell Grants, so students are going to have to borrow more. And it doesn't offer the public loan forgiveness. I'm a huge advocate of public service, and I think that if we can, you know, if we can help kids finance their college by going into public service afterwards, it's a fantastic idea, and it's a win-win for everybody, in my opinion.
An infrastructure bill has been something that has been stalled in Congress for a long time, because it needs revenue to support it. It needs either a gas tax increase or a way to tax vehicles that do not run on gasoline. Where do you think the way forward is in that large and thorny issue?
Well, that was something that that President Trump really focused on during the campaign, and I was hopeful that his budget would reflect that. Instead, it reflects, you know, big cuts to infrastructure and to the Tiger Grant specifically. And, I think we lost, we'll lose about $500 million in Tiger Grants. And that's exactly the money that we need for infrastructure projects.
There's also a proposal to eliminate long-distance routes for Amtrak in the state of Illinois and across the nation, leaving basically 4 or 5 disconnected corridors of passenger rail service. What would that do to the state of Illinois if it comes to pass, and how would you suggest moving forward or not on that?
Well, I'm a big proponent of Amtrak. I would have to look at that more closely before I think I could give you an effective answer, because I am not sure which lines would be closed and how that would affect the areas around them.
Other than healthcare, what do you think is the most important issue to address in this campaign?
Well, I think in this district in particular, there is a trifecta of healthcare, education, jobs. In this district, they're so intimately tied together. Education-related services and healthcare-related services make up about 30% of the jobs in the district. So you can't really talk about one without talking about the others. Let's protect our healthcare. Let's protect our education services and protect our jobs while we're doing it.
Betsy Dirksen-Londrigan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.